God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Psalm 89, verse 7. This passage says that when we come before God to worship him, we should be reverent. We should be respectful. Because when we come together to worship God, we're not involved in an ordinary, everyday activity of life. Our frame of mind is to be different. We're to have a different attitude and a different motive as we come together to worship God. And so our manner of doing things in worship is to be different than it is in doing ordinary things in life. The Bible says that there's to be the utmost reverence when we come before God, Psalm 89, verse 7. Now then, let's compare what the Bible says in that passage to some things that I have heard and read over the years about worship. Recently, I saw a sign, and that sign said, if your kids are making so much noise in the car that you can barely read this sign, our church is just the place for them. This sign, put up by some church, says, if you have kids that just make noise all the time, bring them to our church. So in other words, their idea of bringing kids to church is to have them to make all the noise that they want to make. Is that what the Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 7? Is that the way that we ought to be teaching our children? Is that what people ought to be allowing in the name of worship today, in the name of church? Several years ago, I saw a preacher on television who was exhorting his audience. And he said to the audience, let's just make all the noise that we can. Let's all make a loud noise to the Lord. You can holler, you can yell, you can scream, you can shout. And at the count of three, I want everybody to make the loudest noise they can to the Lord. Now again, is this what we find in Psalm 89, verse 7? Is that being respectful? Is that showing reverence to God? I remember one time hearing a young man speak who had been to a youth rally. Now, this was a church-sponsored youth rally. And he said that during the singing, while they were worshiping God, that the kids were yelling and screaming, and in his own words, he said that place was chaos. Then he proceeded to criticize the churches, and especially the church that he'd been brought up in, because he said they didn't have that kind of zeal and that they were dead. In other words, he said they ought to have chaos instead of having the order that they had. Again, I ask you, is that what the Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 7? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. This young man said what we need in worship is chaos. Instead, is this what God wants? Is this in the Bible? I know it's very popular today. I know this is what many people refer to as contemporary worship, or at least there are some versions of contemporary worship that actually encourage this kind of behavior. Now, is this what the Bible says? Sadly, most people decide this question based on what they like. Not on what the Bible says or doesn't say, but simply whether they like it or not. So some do it. In other words, some have this kind of atmosphere in their worship, and the reason is simple. It's because they like it. It's because they want it. If you ask them, why do you do this? They'll simply tell you something like, well, it makes us feel good. This is something that really appeals to a lot of young people and even older people alike today, and people seem to like it, they seem to enjoy it, and so we do it. Now, on the other hand, there are people who don't do these things in worship, and if you ask them, well, why don't you have this kind of activity in your worship service? Why don't you have people who are hollering and yelling and screaming and shouting? They'll say, well, because we just don't like it. We just don't prefer that kind of thing. Well, you see, neither group really has the right motivation. Neither group really is giving the right kind of answer. Because it's not about what we like, and it's not about what we don't like. liking a thing does not make it right in God's sight. And that goes against the way that a lot of people think these days. A lot of people think that just because something makes them feel good and they like it, that it must be right, that God is going to be pleased with it. And yet the entire history of the Bible shows that that is not the case. Just because a man thinks that something is right does not make it right in God's sight. On the other hand, disliking a thing does not make it wrong. Now, it may be wrong, but it's not wrong just because I don't like it or because somebody else doesn't like it. The question is, what does God want? What does the Bible say? What do the Scriptures teach in the New Testament about this thing that many people call contemporary worship? And what we're going to do is to go straight to the Bible to see what we can learn from some Bible principles about this issue. Now, the first passage that we're turning to is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what we find in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 17, is that Paul is talking about the worship assembly. He is talking about how these Christians worshiped in the first century, and he points out what was wrong with their worship services. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, that Paul said, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, there's your assembly. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, that should have been their reason for coming together, but it was not. And that's why Paul is getting on to them here. He explains in verse 21, "For in eating, every one takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken," that is, he's filled. "What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Now, what was taking place here? What had happened? Well, they were supposed to be coming together to have the Lord's Supper, which is the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Instead, they were bringing their own meals. They were bringing all kinds of food. And they were turning the Lord's Supper into their own supper. In other words, here's what we have taking place. These Corinthian Christians had every right in the world to eat what they wanted to at home. They could eat their common, everyday, ordinary meals at home, or they could eat them at the marketplace or someplace else. But they had no right to take an everyday activity, such as eating a common meal, and make it a part of the worship service. Now, that is very important for us to remember. And I think there are a lot of people in this day and age that do not understand and do not appreciate what Paul is saying here. Paul teaches that just because something is right in ordinary life does not mean that it's right in worship. There are many people who say, well, there's nothing wrong with this, that, or the other, and so we'll just make it part of worship and it will be right there. But the Bible teaches differently. You can't just take anything in life that's right in and of itself, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it in that setting in everyday life, and then turn it into worship to God. The Bible has never approved of that kind of approach. Remember, Cain and Abel offered sacrifices to God. One was accepted, the other was not. Cain's offering, which was of the fruit of the ground, in other words, he offered a vegetable, a plant offering to God. Well, if he had offered that to somebody else, if he had given that to his parents, there wouldn't have been anything wrong with that. But when he tried to offer it to God, he was rejected. God was not pleased with that. Why? Because God said, when you worship me, there is to be a special way and there is to be special means whereby you come to me in worship. Now, again, this is something that many people need to understand in our time. Worship is a special activity that we're doing in the sight of God. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have a very important principle. And that principle is that you cannot take just anything in life and make it a part of worship, even the eating of a common meal. Now then, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we have a passage here that deals with order in worship. Is it right to yell and scream and holler and just have chaos in worship? Is that what the Bible says? Well, before we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 23, just ask this question. As you read the New Testament, where do you ever read of Christians coming together, engaging in that kind of activity? Where do you ever find that in your New Testament? You can read it from beginning to end, from Matthew to Revelation, and you will never see Christians doing that kind of thing in worship. Now, in addition to that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul specifically forbids this kind of disorderly conduct in worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 23, Paul said, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place," there again is the worship assembly, "and all speak with tongues." In other words, if everybody is trying to speak in a foreign language, speaking in these languages that God gave them the miraculous ability to speak, Paul said, if all of you are doing that at the same time, running over each other and trying to talk over each other, he says, "And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers," in other words, you've got visitors, and they're not Christians, "will they not say that you are mad?" They're going to think that you're crazy. They're going to think that you've lost your minds because, you see, there's no order to it. So what Paul does, beginning in verse 26, is to give these Corinthians then and us today guidelines and principles for having order in worship. Beginning in verse 26, Paul said, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Paul said, now I've just said to you, if all of you are speaking in tongues at the same time, nobody's going to be able to understand that. You're not going to help anybody. You know, it's like listening to one of these talk shows today on radio or television, and you've got two or three people trying to speak over each other and at each other at the same time. You can't get anything out of a broadcast like that. It's confusing. It's chaos. Now, that's similar to what these people were doing at the church at Corinth. They were all trying to speak at the same time, and there was confusion. Paul said, "Why are you doing that?" And then, in the last part of verse 26, he says, "Let all things be done unto edifying." The word edify means to build up. It means to strengthen. And Paul's point in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is this. If people cannot understand what you're saying, then how are they going to be edified? You see, that was what was taking place in Corinth. You had all these people trying to speak at the same time, and Paul said, "You're not helping anybody. You're confusing one another." Now, the same principle works today. I know that we don't have tongue speakers and prophets today, but this principle of order in worship has always been in place, and it's still in place in our time. And in the next lesson, we're going to look at what Paul says about doing all things decently and in order in 1 Corinthians chapter 14.